Hello, everyone. Welcome to NGW High Voltage. I am the camera guy, and here with me this week making his glorious return is NGW head official Scott Cross. Scott, how you doing, man?
I'm back. You know, I appreciate Guido stepping in for me. You know, scheduling conflicts came up, and, you know, the show must go on. So luckily, Guido stepped up for us and helped out last week, but I am back this week.
Oh, you already have your number one fan in the comments, Scott.
Oh, I knew it was a matter of time she missed me.
The infamous Dardar, hey, camera guy, bye, Scott, you suck.
Oh, Dardar, I know you missed me. It's the same without me on here last
hashtag
week.
Hashtag Scott's fault.
Why are we starting with that? Just at least give me 5 minutes on the podcast, Dardar, for you start blaming for everything going on.
So, Scott, what we got going on this weekend?
Oh, man, we got IWA this weekend. And it's our, you know, night of honor at IWA.
Yep, that is right. Let me pull up. We have a night of honor, IWA Productions Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yes, I mean, this class is stacked. I mean, we have our guest tonight, Scar, going in and Road Warrior Animal inducted in the Hall of Fame, along with Pretty Boy Floyd. You know, a great class to go into the IWA Hall of Fame. But, you know, of course, we have, you know, a couple big names coming in. Chase Stevens and Ryan Van Rocket make their return to IWA this Saturday.
Yeah, we haven't seen them for a couple years now at IWA.
Yeah, it's been a little bit since they've been there, but, you know, now they're coming back, so. You know, we got a couple great matches.
She won't be there this weekend.
Oh, man. You know, it's going to be not the same without my number one fan right there, you know, cheering me on every time I go out to the ring.
Oh, and we got Laura the Chess saying, Ryder the Hooligan is going to take it.
Oh, yeah. That tag team match we got going on.
Yeah, you know, four-way tag team match between the boys, a boy and his monster, the Great Heathen Army, and the Gospel of Damnation. A lot of boys in that match.
Yeah, there is a lot of boys in that match. That is a stacked match. I mean, you know, these teams have been at each other's throats for the last couple months, and now it's came to this, you know. Shrapnel returning, you know, Great Heathen Army, Gospel of Damnation, no strangers to each other. And now it's just going to turn into this big old fight with eight different people in this match for those tag team titles.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the IWA tag team champions is currently held by the Great Heathen Army, you know, consisting of Bro Shaman, the Disciple is what we're calling him nowadays.
I guess that's what you call him.
And of course, you know, the current NGW Lightning Division champion, Preacher.
Why? You could have just said the Gospel of Damnation. You could have just said that and not mentioned his name. But we're already starting. We're 2 minutes in and we're already starting. Let's go. I mean, we're already gonna start this early. I seen last week, you know, with LBK. We kind of threw him under the bus first time. We didn't warn him about the whole thing and kind of scared him a little bit. So at least this time he was a little bit prepared for you know, the name we're not going to mention right now. I know Dardar wants me to say it, but.
But, you know, of course, you know, the big thing of the night is the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yes.
And, you know, this year we've got, you know, our guest tonight, the Monster Scar going in, and Pretty Boy Floyd, and who else, Scott?
Road Warrior Animal.
Warrior Animal.
You know, joining us in the Hall of Fame, you know, we. It's going to be a great class this year. It's going to be a lot of great action. You know, we got some big stars coming in. You know, we got the Hall of Fame. It's going to be definitely a night of honor and a night to not miss, because it's going to be a great night this weekend in Mount Vernon.
Yeah, you're definitely not going to want to miss. If you haven't gotten your tickets already, head on over to the Ringside Buffet in Mount Vernon and get your tickets for this Saturday.
Yes, exactly. Come a little early. Go to the Ringside Buffet, buy your tickets. And then that way you're good. You know, got a great meal. Come over next door. Come see some great wrestling. You know, I know you're making the drive over here, camera guy.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be, you know.
Every last Saturday of the month.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be a great night, you know, like it is always. But, you know, tonight is going to be great with having the Monster Scar on, talking about his career, talking about, you know, his highlights. And then, you know, Saturday, he's getting inducted at where he needs to be in the Hall of Fame, IWA Hall of Fame. Big part of IWA. Get to talk about him, everything with him. So I'm looking forward to that tonight.
Yeah, let's take a look at some of Scar's accomplishments. As we say, he's being inducted into the IWA Productions Hall of Fame of 2025 class this Saturday. 23 years professional wrestling, two-time IWA Productions Tag Team Champion, MPW Heavyweight Champion and Hardcore Champion, FTW Heavyweight Champion, multiple tag team championships across 8 different promotions. He's wrestled in Illinois, Missouri, and Texas. Other career highlights include participating in the Rumble for Kids and Wrestling Bob Burton. And a little bit of a fun fact, Scar once chokeslammed UFC Hall of Fame original Dan Severn off of a ladder.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, we gotta talk to him about
what it says.
we gotta talk to him about that tonight, because I gotta find out how that came about. I mean, crazy.
I would imagine that they were both on the ladder, but you know what?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and find out right now. Everybody go ahead and join me in welcoming the Monster Scar.
Hey guys.
Place of honor. Hello, sir.
There's the Scar mask.
Yeah.
One of them. They changed over the years, but there's one.
Well, in 23 years, I would imagine that you changed it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. The first two were leather. I wore one leather one for a really long time. It was made by Max Empire, which is the guy that makes leather masks. He made all kinds of leather masks. And he was the one who designed Kane's original mask. So that's the one that's sitting down in the showcase there at IWA. I actually did a show with Kane once, and he got to see the work, and he remembered the guy that made it, and Matthew Mansour is the guy's name. Just excellent work. I mean, that mask held up for 15 years.
That is some incredible craftsmanship.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
We have Marcellus Knight already in the chat saying, hello, Scar.
Hey, Marcellus. I think we've gone to battle a couple times here or there.
Yeah.
We have Lawrence Sulzer saying IWA is going to be badass on Saturday night. That it will.
Yes.
And infamous Dardar chiming in with, when I first saw Scar, I was terrified.
Yeah, that's kind of what the point of the character was.
Yeah.
Just a big monster there to do some bad things.
So, you've been in the business for 23 years. How did you get started in wrestling?
It was one of those things where a good friend of mine, he's wrestled just as long as I have, named Xavier Frost, and I, we're just so obsessed about wrestling. We watch everything that was out there. It was the end of the 90s, early 2000s. You're coming off the Attitude Era, and we were just like, obsessed with it, and we wanted to try to get into it. There was a company in St. Louis at the time called Gateway Wrestling, or Gateway Championship Wrestling.
Yes, I remember that one.
Yep.
And we actually had called them to try to get a tryout and training date and never got a response. And so we went to a local show from a company called Midwest Powerhouse Wrestling, and we got talking to one of the promoters, and the next month he was bringing Dan the Beast Severn in to do a seminar, and beginners were welcome. So we paid our money and we went down there, and the first pro wrestling experience I got was with Dan Severn.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
And I know Scott wants to ask you about choke slamming Dan Severn off a ladder. How did that come about?
He was in a ladder match with, and I don't remember exactly, I want to say it was either Searcher or Damian Blade, somebody like that. And we were in a group called the Legion. And of course, we had to interfere. And Severn was up on the ladder, and I just grabbed him up above my head and choke slammed him down.
Oh, we got NGW sound engineer Jason Heath saying, "Evening to you, Scar. It's been some time since I saw a match of yours. I remember taking many pictures of you, of your matches in WPW, including ones which you teamed up with another powerhouse, Damian Blade."
Absolutely. Longtime friend of mine. We held a couple different titles together in a couple different places. Went as a team as the Unholy Alliance, and we also went as a group called The Fallen.
You know, we had Damian Blade on our show just last month, right, Scott?
Yep.
Yep. And Damian Blade has apparently become convinced that I am Donde Estoy.
Yeah. Like 100% convinced.
Pictures of him while you do that.
I don't know. See, that's the thing. You know, I've taken plenty of pictures of Donde, you know, but he's just absolutely convinced of it now.
Well, the weekend that he was
in the same place.
Well, the weekend that he thought you were Donde, Donde was up with me in Springfield. You were down in St. Louis at MMWA. So how can that be? But he still didn't believe it.
I just want to take a second, give a shout out to Jason Heath. Great guy. Great guy. Glad to see him up and active and involved with NGW.
Oh, absolutely top tier sound technician. Oh, speaking of Donde, all right. Well, so how could I be Donde if Donde's in the chat right now asking what he missed?
I know, exactly. So how did you come up with a Scar character?
So my main trainer was a man by the name of the Searcher, and he had always had this character in the back of his mind. If you really go back, there's an old John Wayne movie called The Searchers, and the bad guy is a Native American named Scar. And so that kind of was the basis of the idea. And he had taken an old pair of boots and cut out a leather mask, and that was the, and he had made the scar on it and put the backing on it, and that was the original Scar mask. And when they said we were done training and ready to get in the ring, that was what he gave me to wear. And it was kind of cool because there was a whole group of us that trained together, and when we were all ready at the same time, we debuted as the Legion, this kind of powerhouse group. I mean, the very first thing we did was come into the ring, and I believe I choke slammed the entire locker room. Everybody would come out and just go down one by one. The entire group just took time. They had kendo sticks and they just kind of wiped everybody out.
Wow. So do you have an actual match that night, or was it just coming in?
So
staking your claim
until, yeah, that was just our debut. And then, had a match later on.
What was your first match?
My very first match was before I was Scar. I was a bodyguard gimmick called Big Country. I was supposed to be the bodyguard for this character called Ninja Presley. And so I was all in white to match that, but that never did come about. But we were up in Quincy, Illinois, and I was wrestling one of the tag champions at the time. His name was Agent U, or Uriah. And that's who I was matched up against. We had a match, thought everything was cool. And then the promoter came by and goes, "Here, make this a dog collar match." So my very first match was a dog collar match.
Oh, wow.
Did you win?
I don't remember. I think it was a disqualification after. I think he wrapped me up in the corner and then unhooked himself and took the belt and whipped me with it or something. I don't know. I've been hit by so many things, I can't remember them all now.
Well, after 23 years, you know. So in those 23 years, you know, we had that you've wrestled in Illinois, Missouri, and Texas.
Yeah.
Is that it, or were there any other places the honor work?
You know, I want to say there may have been a spot appearance in Indiana, but I can't really remember. I stayed so busy staying in Illinois. There was a period where I had a booking every weekend to go someplace else, all from the top of the state down to the bottom of the state. And I just didn't have a need to go out to other states and do that kind of travel because my calendar was full.
Which promotions did you work with?
Oh man, there was a while there that my Facebook, there was a time where you could have two Facebook pages, one for yourself and one for your character. But eventually they made me shut the Scar one down, but it was pretty popular and promotions would see the gimmick. They would see the character and they'd want it in there. So I worked for so many promotions I didn't even know the name of. It was just be here at this day, at this time, at this place and wrestle and go home.
We got just Savage in the comments saying we don't talk about it. Was that the Dallas Screwjob? Oh,
the Houston Screwjob.
Houston Screwjob. Okay.
The Houston Screwjob. Yeah. I wasn't there, but I heard about it because I was watching the IWA had a comedy show that night and I had to be there to help set up for the comedy show and turn the sound on. Oh. So I was there and there when you guys were heading to Houston. But yeah, I heard all about it.
Yeah, it was as road trips go, it was a great road trip. Everybody enjoyed themselves. As far as the shows go, it was supposed to be a Friday, Saturday night show. It was supposed to be a showcase of talent from all over the country, which it was. There were people there from all over. The only thing that they lacked were people in the crowd. The only crowd members were like a few family members or girlfriends that were sitting in the audience that they didn't, nobody showed up.
Wow. Yeah, there is some more of that story, but you know, we can't talk about it here.
Yeah.
Oh. And then you participate in the Rumble for the Kids, and you wrestled Bob Orton.
Yeah, I've wrestled Bob Orton a handful of times. In my rookie year, I won the MPW Heavyweight Championship, and that's who I dropped it to a few months later. And Bob is just phenomenal to work with in the ring. He's such a professional and he treats everybody he works with respect and so easy to work with. My favorite part of that was we had an agreement. I would, if I didn't pick him up, he wouldn't pick me up. But I mean, he did stuff for me. Like I hit him one time and he went head first through the ropes to the outside.
Wow.
Yeah. Bob was a great guy. In fact, there was a time where I was working for a promotion in Mount Pulaski, Illinois. I believe it was HCW or HHCW or I can't remember the name of the Fed, but I worked for them for a little bit. And they brought Bob in and, you know, he walks into the locker room and everybody wants to say hi to Bob Orton because he's a Hall of Famer. He's Randy's dad. So everybody was coming up and you know, mentioning him. And I was kind of staying back because I knew Bob. I had wrestled with him before. And he looked up and saw me and walked past everybody else and was like, hey, big guy, how you doing? He remembered me. Yeah, so that's kind of neat.
That's cool.
I had another case of something like that where I went to another company's show. RCW had a show in Jerseyville, and they brought Kevin Thorne in. And he was sitting at the table signing autographs and stuff. And we had just performed in Jerseyville a couple months earlier. And some of us from MPW went up to support another company and watch their show. And as we're standing there, we're talking to Kevin. And fans are coming up, ignoring him and asking for the MPW guy's autograph.
Wow.
So when you were traveling around Illinois doing all these different promotions, was there a certain promotion that you just look forward to going every month?
Not every month, but once a year, my absolute favorite show was a show called Rumble for the Kids. It was promoted by a man by the name of Frankie the Chi-Town Hitman, a longtime Chicago area wrestler. And a lot of the wrestlers were from Chicago. It was up in Princeton, Illinois, which is maybe about an hour and a half outside of Chicago. And they ran this show for probably 7-8 years. And it was always for the Princeton school district to buy playground equipment, to buy safety equipment. I think in that time they raised something like $20,000 or $30,000 for the school district and those shows. The shows were always sold out, easily close to 1,000, if not more than 1,000 people, most of which kids who were just loud and excited. I wrestled with people like Shark Boy on those shows. I met Honky Tonk Man, Demolition, just a lot of different great experiences up at that show. And it was definitely the highlight of my year.
Was it a yearly show?
Yeah, it was just once a year.
So in 23 years, I'm sure that, you know.
Voting. What's that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, it's all right. In 23 years, you know, I'm sure that you have countless matches under your belt. I just wonder what one, for either good or bad, which one is probably your most memorable match to you?
Oh, man. There's so many that stand out, and it's not all for great reasons. Probably still one of my favorite matches of all time was against Chico S. Loco, in which I won my first title. It was in St. Clair, Missouri. It was a packed house, and the crowd was going crazy. They loved him, and in the match I put him over the railing right in front of this group of teenage girls who just were absolutely in love with him, and I did one of those big overhand chops, and like his chest caved in, and it was red, and they were screaming and crying, so I had to do it a second time, and then. But yeah, it was just a good match. It told a great story. People were into it, and I thought it was one of my best matches that I'd had for early in my career. One that stands out not so good was the show that MPW did on the Katy Trail. Are you guys familiar with that in Missouri?
No.
It's like this big long hiking trail, and we were out at this hot dog restaurant called Choo Choo's, and we were in their parking lot, and like literally the only people that we were performing for were people that were like walking by with their dogs or jogging by, and it was like literally a show for absolutely nothing. But when there's nobody there, it's hard to have your best match ever.
Yeah.
Plus, I was a lot bigger then. When I first started, I was about 420 pounds, something like that. Wrestled pretty heavy for a long time.
We got Savage in the comments saying he was fortunate enough to get to be on the last one. He's talking about the last Rumble for the Kids, I do believe there. It was a great time. And we have Dardar with a question for you. He's saying, hey, in MMWA, who would you want to face besides Playboy?
I've had the opportunity to wrestle Playboy before, not a one-on-one match, but a tag match, and great worker. But I ended my career with MMWA. I was just starting to get on a roll there, and things were starting to work and go really well. And then I had my accident and had to retire. But if I could work one person that I didn't get a chance to work with there, it would be Ricky Cruz.
Ricky Cruz.
Never had a chance to get to ring with Ricky, and would have loved that chance.
Who was your favorite opponent that you faced?
What's that now?
Who is your favorite opponent that you faced?
Oh, I've wrestled so many great opponents. But there was just that group of us from MPW who we just all clicked together. Chico S. Loco, Christian Hayes, Curtis Payne, who I believe just returned to NGW.
He did just return to NGW.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, some of the Agent U, Uriah, there are just so many guys from that group that we all just clicked so well. Xavier Frost, one of my best friends, and we always had great matches together.
Do you have a favorite match that comes to mind when you're thinking about your career that you did from any promotion? That just favorite match went great, or just anything particular about the match that just makes it more memorable or something?
Mostly that first title match was one that stands out. There was one against Pretty Boy Floyd in Springfield, that's gotten a lot of views on his page, and I thought it was just a really good match. We just gelled in the ring, and things went really well. You know, anytime I got to wrestle Al Orton, it was great. There was one time at that show in Mount Pulaski, it didn't get promoted, and there was maybe four people in the ring, and it was a tag match, and his tag partner was a man by the name of Ron Powers. Don't know if you're familiar with Ron Powers, but he's a big, tough guy and takes it out on you in the ring. And my tag partner was a man by the name of Bioshock. And we kind of, it was fought to a double DQ. And Ron matched up with Bioshock and beat the crap out of him. And Orton and I traded punches until we got in the back.
So you always seem like more of a powerhouse wrestler to me. Did your style change over the years and evolve into being a powerhouse, or were you always kind of a powerhouse?
You know, when you learn to wrestle, you learn all the techniques, all the chain wrestling, all of that. And then when you're my size, the promoter looks at you and goes, "Don't do any of that stuff. Beat him up." So that's always the only difference in my wrestling over the years is especially when I lost a lot of weight, I lost a lot of strength. And so I used to be able to do moves where I picked people up on my shoulders, or I did press slams, body slams, you know, be able to pick people up. And as I lost some of that muscle mass, I kind of lost that ability. So it mainly stayed on the ground.
What was your favorite move to perform?
Tombstone.
Tombstone?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I got to do that on St. Louis had a news guy. They had the morning news show, and they had a guy by the name of Tim Mazzell who did special features on it. And we had a show at a hotel in St. Louis, and we got it set up to where we had to be there at like 5 or 6 in the morning. And we did a series of little wrestling spots for Tim Mazzell. And I even got like slapped by him, and I got to do some tombstones on that. And it was going back and watch it's on the WPW YouTube page somewhere on there. And just watching the newscasters' faces after every segment was priceless.
So wait, did you get to tombstone Tim Mazzell?
No, I didn't get to tombstone him. Oh. He smacked me and ran away. It was, I believe, to tombstone.
And speaking of WPW, you were a very big part of WPW, correct?
I was. It was began by Xavier Frost, and then I eventually bought the company from him and ran it the last 3-4 years of its existence. I kind of, towards the end there, I kind of stepped away from wrestling and just concentrated on running the company. So you'd have seen me there, but you'd have seen me at an announce table or something like that.
So you did announcing there mostly at the end?
Yeah, I did some play-by-play. Jason Halbert was a great broadcast partner. You got to watch him, though, because he likes to take cheap shots. But we worked really well together.
You know, I'm not sure if you've seen lately in NGW, but Halbert seems to be having a slight change of heart lately.
Really?
I don't. Yeah, it's kind of scary because I've known Halbert for 5 years, and this is not the Halbert I know. The Halbert I know is not this way. He's nice. He's actually like concerning, and it's kind of scary to see this side of Halbert. But we don't know where this is going to go with him. But it's interesting.
I wouldn't trust it.
I mean, yeah, his track record's not very good. So, you know, it's always sleep with one eye open with him because you never know. Like, always keep an eye on him because, yeah.
Yeah, we got Dardar saying, "I don't trust Halbert, this new Halbert," and it's scary.
So this Saturday at IWA, you join the IWA Hall of Fame, and you're in a pretty – you know, great class. You got some great people joining you. You know, you got Pretty Boy Floyd. You got Road Warrior Animal joining your class. How did you get your start with IWA?
So I met the promoter of IWA at that Rumble for the Kids show. And we had actually wrestled on a show like 7-8 years before that. And we had wrestled each other. So we knew who each other were, but we just hadn't talked a whole lot. And so we started talking at those shows. And I asked about maybe going down there and work with him. At that time, IWAP was running in Fairfield, Illinois, and which was about two and a half hour trip from where I'm located. And so I started going down there probably about 10 years ago, wrestled some great wrestlers. CJ Shine, I believe, was the first match I wrestled down there. Did that for quite a while. Took a little bit of break when I had my surgery, but always ended up coming back working for IWAP.
How does it feel being able to go into the Hall of Fame this year?
It's such an honor. The people who are in the IWA Hall of Fame, a lot of which I worked shows with just off the top of my head, Tommy Snow, Angel, Beast. These are all people who I spent a lot of time on the road with, and to go in with Pretty Boy Floyd, who's had just such a spectacular career, and Road Warrior Animal. I mean, that's amazing.
Did you ever get the chance to work with Road Warrior Animal?
I met him once at a Herb Simmons show, but I never got the chance to work with him.
How long were you? Did you say you were working at IWA?
I want to say it's probably been about 10 years. The highlight of my IWA career was tagging with the Monster Savage as Savage Scar. We were 2-time IWA tag team champions.
Yeah, actually, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe your last IWA match was a Loser Leaves Town match against Savage. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. It was pretty brutal match. We hit each other with everything but the kitchen sink. But he got the better of me, and I had to leave IWA. I was starting to pick up some steam going to MMWA, and it was, you know, the opportunity for that match came up, and I went ahead and took the deal and ended up losing the match and having to leave. But I had another place to land, fortunately.
Yeah, I remember, right, that match ended with Savage getting you with the crowbar to the face.
Yeah, yeah. Not much you can say about that. Didn't feel great.
Yeah, that was a match I really didn't want to officiate. Luckily, I had some little freak, I like to call him. He wanted it refereed that match. So we had TJ Kellis do it because he's perfect for that match. So I said, all right, you want to do that? You go right ahead. Give him a red shirt. Go right ahead. But yeah, that was brutal. Yeah. I mean, you guys went to war that night.
We did. We, like I said, we hit each other with just about everything you can hit each other with. The only thing that I didn't use, Scar had a big machete type knife and had it under the ring, but never thought to grab it and use it on him.
So what was the story between you and Savage there?
So the story was, you know, we were tag partners forever. We were the big monsters that just took it out on everybody. And when I was gone for a while, I had to retire for a little bit due to some health issues. And while I was gone, he started tagging with Shrapnel as a boy and his monster. And when I came back, I joined with them, but it's just not Scar's nature to be cheered or to be doing the right thing. And so Scar wanted Savage to come back to being the monster. And so he took it out on Shrapnel, blaming Shrapnel for Savage being soft. And so the whole point of that match was to either make Savage dig down deep and be a monster and do the things that he does hasn't wanted to do, or he's going to lose his spot in the company.
Yeah. Yeah. He even threw the referee at you at one point during the match.
I believe so.
So, yeah.
And then Dick Dardar asking, hey, Scar, if you ever came back to NGW, would you want to face the best monster, Preacher?
Absolutely. I wrestle Preacher. I actually have wrestled for NGW.
That's not the normal.
You guys didn't do that?
No, we have a little thing on our show where he likes to, he's kind of our resident Beetlejuice. You say his name three times, he shows up, but that's not what we expected from.
That's not usually what happens. If you wind up collectively saying Preacher three times.
Yeah. Why did it go back to two?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. What? We've already said his name. No. We can't. What's going on with the counter? Why did it go back to two? I don't like that.
Yes,
anyways, we're gonna move on past that and not talk about his name, and we're gonna move on, and hopefully that isn't happening again. Because I like to go to sleep tonight.
Now we have a Jerry Morgan in the comments saying that Jerry Morgan would be the guy Scar wants.
I'd love that match. Absolutely would have loved that match.
Yeah, well, Jerry Morgan, have a match with Jerry.
I think that guy's got everything it takes to move on to a higher level and do this as a career. Great talent.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a belt collector. He's been wreaking havoc everywhere he goes. Jerry Morgan's just been tearing it up. And, you know, next month he will get a shot at the NGW heavyweight title.
Yeah, watch out for him because that's a guy that can take it.
Yeah, I mean, he's
current IWA light heavyweight champion.
And Ignite Outburst champion, too.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And almost became the new NGW Lightning Division champion if it wasn't for a certain distraction. But yeah.
Those tend to happen.
Yeah.
So you say you used to travel all up and down the state of Illinois.
Yeah. In fact, there's sometimes we'd take road trips and I'd just be like, yep, I wrestled that town. Yep, I wrestled that town.
So outside of Houston, do you have a favorite road trip story that you can tell us?
That I can tell you. There was the time where the vehicle broke down and we had to leave it abandoned in a cornfield and get a ride with another wrestler who had this little sports car with the trunk full of stereo equipment. And you had myself and BioShock, who's a 6'4" wrestler, and Xavier Frost, who's a good 6'1". And we all had to cram into this little vehicle until we got to Springfield. And, It was not a fun night, but it was definitely a memorable one.
Yeah, those are always not fun in the moment, but then when you think about it later and you're like, that was a fun time, you know, it was definitely interesting.
The road trips are always the best. Just when you're on the road with the guys, it can't be beat. It's probably one of the best parts of wrestling. Well, thank you.
Yeah, bye. NGW co-CEO Phoenix Quinn in the comments saying, it will be an honor to bring you out to be inducted on Saturday. You had a hand in who I am today, and I am grateful for the push.
Oh, well, it's just a suggestion. You took off running with it.
So you helped Phoenix Quinn get her start?
Yeah. She was around helping out with all sorts of things with the company, and we needed a ring announcer, and I thought she would be able to do it. So I sat down and talked to her and asked her if it'd be something she'd be interested in doing, and gave her a couple pointers of it. And she went out there and just killed it and has gotten nothing but better since.
Yeah. She absolutely phenomenal ring announcer, both NGW and IWA productions.
Myself and Marcellus Knight. You're absolutely right.
And you helped me early in my career. You helped me get some bookings up there when I started refereeing up there. I was very inexperienced at the time. I wasn't referee much, but you gave Lee a little bit of confidence and let me ref for you. So I appreciate that.
Well, one guy who I'm friends with and indie wrestling fans will know who he is. Ring of Honor fans will know who he is. Brutal Bob Evans. He's like the indie wrestler guru. He's dedicated his life to helping indie wrestlers become the best they can be, to make the most money they can make. And he's all about the best thing you can do is pay it forward and help people. And so I always figured if I could use who I knew or where I was at to try to get people booked places, why wouldn't I want to try to do that?
That's an amazing outlook right there. Is there one thing throughout your career that you'd say you're the most proud of?
We did some charity stuff that I was happy that we were able to raise money for. There was this one girl in Jerseyville who loved coming out to the shows, and I was able to do like a personal appearance for her one day out at her house. Just watching the kids be happy, watching people enjoy themselves, walking out, walking into the show, maybe skeptical of wrestling, and then walking out of the show happy and feeling like they got their money's worth. That's always what made me the most proud.
We have Lauren Sulzer in the comments asking, Scar, do you think you could beat Reinar?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Reinar's great. He is very talented. At this point, I probably have no business being in the ring without training for about a year or so to get back into there. But I don't know. I got a chance. Call it the veteran's advantage.
Yeah, you got at least a foot on him, I'd say.
Yeah. Not that that's always mattered, but it doesn't hurt.
So I asked you what your favorite move to perform earlier was. What was your least favorite move to take?
Anything where I got picked up off my feet. Honestly, because it didn't for a long time in my career, it just didn't happen because nobody's picking up somebody who's pushing 450. But let me think about that. Honestly, the move that I hated to take the most was like a clothesline. Moving forward and then the trajectory backwards was something that was just always awkward for me.
I think that's the first time anybody said clothesline to that one.
Yep.
Usually it's like power bombs or stuff like that, but.
Well, I never took any power bombs other than the ones off. Like I took a few of them where I'd be climbing the ropes and a couple guys would grab me and power bomb me off the ropes. Those aren't too bad. In fact, I think I broke a board one time off one of those in a cage. Yeah, definitely my lack of coordination moving forwards and then flying backwards definitely was not my favorite.
So what's your favorite type of match you like to be in?
The cage matches were a lot of fun. And we did a couple different kinds. I've done traditional cage matches. And I've done, in WPW, we had a wooden framed barbed wire cage. And we had a big match in that about once a year while it lasted. Those were particularly brutal matches. But I never minded doing those things with barbed wire. I didn't mind doing hardcore matches. Really, anything that I could do to elicit a response from the crowd, I was into.
Yeah, I haven't had the opportunity to photograph a cage match yet, but I hope that someday I'll be able to. That's one type of match that I'm really looking forward to actually be able to photograph.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. by fun, I mean you get the heck beat out of you, thrown into the metal, head butted into it. I've done several cage matches where weapons were involved. So, but as a wrestler, you're a little bit crazy and that you think of that stuff as fun.
Well, I would imagine that a cage match just opens the door to a bunch of opportunities of things that you just can't normally do.
Oh, no. I was in one cage match one time and I forget who it was, but I took them and there was a table laid out. And, you know, obviously the obvious thing to do is to put them on the table and then climb the ropes and come back and go through the table with them. But instead of that, got the idea, instead of putting them on the table, I rolled them under the table and then climbed the ropes. But he rolled out and I went through the table on my own. So didn't work out too great for me, but the crowd enjoyed it. They thought it was a good idea to put him under the table.
Well, you gotta listen to the crowd.
Absolutely.
It would have worked if he wouldn't have just
the second time.
It would have worked fine if he wouldn't have moved.
Yeah.
Now, Scar, I'm not sure if you've ever seen our program, but we do like to have a little bit of fun with our guests. And one of my favorite things to have fun with our guests is a little bit of a segment that we like to call.
Okay.
Shock therapy. Now, for anybody new here, the way that shock therapy works is we ask our guests a series of three multiple choice questions. If they get two out of the three right, they will win a prize, which is a signed show poster for one of our live viewers. And this week, Scar, you will be playing for Lauren Stolzer.
All right. Hopefully I can win for you, Lauren.
Yep. You just got to get two out of the three right, and you'll win that poster. And we like to tailor our questions to our guests in one form or another. For example, you're familiar with Dexter, right?
Yes.
Yep, when Dexter was on, we asked him questions about bloody politicians. When TJ Kellis was on, you know, his motto is Dare to Dream. We asked him questions about dreams. So I was thinking, well, you're the monster Scar. So I figured it would only be appropriate to ask you probably about the most famous Scar in cinema history. That's right. Huh?
One of my favorite characters.
That's right. Scar from The Lion King.
All right.
Your first question. In The Lion King, Scar famously threw Mufasa into the stampede. What chilling words did he whisper before letting go? Was it A, oops, Butterfingers, B, K, thanks, bye, C, this is Sparta, or D, long live the king?
I could be wrong, but I believe it's D, long live the king.
D, long live the king, and you are correct.
Imagine if the line was, oops, Butterfingers. How different the movie would be if that was the line.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't they be ripping off the butcher going, whoopsie daisy?
That one scene just so happened to scar a whole generation of children.
Oh, man.
Scott. Oh, no. All right, you got one down, two to go. Are you ready for the next question?
Absolutely.
All right, question two. Scar's most loyal followers were a pack of who? Was it A, middle-aged dads at a karaoke bar, B, a dozen angry geese with switchblades, C, hyenas, or D, failed American Idol contestants?
Well, I'm pretty certain it's C, hyenas.
C, hyenas, and you are correct. It was a pack of hyenas. Although I think a dozen angry geese with switchblades would have made for a very interesting movie.
That would have. Maybe that should be in a sequel.
You know, they've actually made two different sequels to the Lion King movie.
I haven't seen
Lion King 2 and Lion King 1.5. which focused on Timon and Pumbaa. But I get you got
just for fun.
Oh, yep. You got the two right. So you definitely won that poster for Lauren, but we can see if you can go 3 for 3. Are you ready?
I am.
Your third question. Scar even got his own villain song. What was it called? A, Be Prepared. B, Dancing with Puma. C, The Circle of Snack Time. Or D, I Just Can't Wait to Be Mean.
Ooh. I'm glad I got the first two because I don't know about this one. I'm going to say A, Be Prepared, but I could be wrong.
You're going with A, Be Prepared, and you are correct. It was A, Be Prepared. Although I think that Circle of Snack Time would have been an awesome
That's song. What I sing every time I get up and go to the refrigerator.
But you got 3 out of 3 correct. So congratulations, Lauren. You won that signed poster. And, you know, this last question about Scar even getting his own villain song. You know, what was your entrance music?
Oh, I've had several over the years. My very first entrance music I came out to was Devil's Dance by Metallica. Then I used Ashes to Ashes it was one of those kind of super groups that people put together. I can't remember the name of the band. It was on a soundtrack or something. It was on the Punisher soundtrack. But Ashes to Ashes is one I used for a very, very long time. And then towards the end, I had some copyright-free music that I had obtained to use so that it could be played on social medias and YouTubes and things like that without getting flagged and having issues.
Now, I know when you teamed with Savage, you guys had your own custom music. Was there other teams that you teamed with? Did you guys make custom music for your group, or was it just...
No, I didn't really get into that until maybe the last 5-6 years of wrestling. I use that Ashes to Ashes song a lot.
We got Just Savage saying Niffin. I can't pronounce that.
Amphetamine?
Amphetamine by Cradle of Faith? For a bit.
We might have used that for a little bit until he got the other music. There was a song by Ozzy that I had used for a while, and I can't remember the name of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That'd be a good pick.
Yeah. It was one of his ones that had come out about mid-2010.
What was your favorite?
Man, I go back and listen to Devil's Dance. When we were with the Legion, we came out to Godsmack Voodoo. And it was so smooth and so good, but everybody who was in that locker room was, because the Legion came out so many times a show, they got so sick of hearing Voodoo that nobody ever wanted to hear it again.
Kind of like how we have with PYT, where we have Sharp Dressed Man play 6 times during the show because PYT is a part of everything. So, yes, I can see that.
Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, Scar, I really want to thank you for coming on and joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me on, guys. You
a great congratulations on your induction into the IWA Productions Hall of Fame Class of 2025.
Thank you.
Is very well earned, and I've enjoyed very much so hearing about your career over the past 23 years.
Thank you. It's been an honor being on here with you guys.
Yes.
And I look forward to seeing you on Saturday, getting some absolutely outstanding pictures of you being inducted in.
All right, thank you very much. I'm excited for the opportunity. I'm grateful for IWA for the honor, and can't wait for Saturday.
Yes, yep. It's going to be definitely a night to remember and a night of honor as you take your rightful plates in the IWA Hall of Fame. You know, it's going to be a great night, and I cannot wait for Saturday.
Absolutely.
I know you got to go here, so I'm going to wish you well tonight, and we will see you on Saturday, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. All right,
thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, absolutely wonderful. I am so.
Oh, yeah. A lot of fun. You know, getting to hear his career. Yes. I mean, he takes his rightful place. Him joining the class with this year, 2025, joining with him is Pretty Boy Floyd and Road Warrior Animal. I mean, that is a class, a great class by itself. But yes, rightful place in Hall of Fame. And then we have so much great action besides that. I mean, there's a lot going on. We have, you know, of course, we have Chase Stevens and Ryan Van Rocket coming in, which we actually found out who they're fighting.
So, yeah, we found out that Chris Thomas is going to be going up against Chase Stevens.
Yes. You know, that was made at the end of the last IWA show where it was announced by Chris Bean that Chris Thomas gets one more shot at the IWA heavyweight title if he beats the man he's bringing in, which is Chase Stevens. So this is not going to be no easy task, but these two know each other, you know, but this is the first time we're going to see them in IWA locking up. So.
And then we are going to be seeing Ryan Van Rocket going up against Tobias Storm.
Yes. When I seen this match was announced, I was excited for this because, you know, Tobias Storm is, you know, an up and coming member of PYT, taking everything every promotion comes in, takes it by storm. And now he's going to step in the ring with Ryan Van Rocket. And then, you know, this is going to be no easy task for either one of them, but this is going to be a great match either way, you know. Having Ryan Van Rocket back and then taking on a great competitor in Tobias Storm.
And we were talking about him a little bit earlier. The light heavyweight champion, Jerry Morgan, is going up against TJ Kellis.
Yes, TJ Kellis is getting his shot at that light heavyweight title. But, you know, Jerry Morgan, it's no easy task. He is a belt collector. He is the reigning and defending IWA light heavyweight champion and the current Ignite first champion. So this is not going to be an easy task for TJ, but since he came back, you know, this is going to be, I mean, it's different. It's going to be a match, but you know, we know what Jerry Morgan we know what TJ is capable of. He is a former light heavyweight champion. So hopefully he gets his title back, but it's going to be a fight to get it back.
And then we're going to be having the Sound Guy versus Navi Kai.
Yes, Navi Kai, another one that's another up-and-comer everywhere he goes. It's great. And, you know, Sound Guy, you know, these two have history together. You know, they all want that light heavyweight title back. Sound Guy wants to get it back after getting beat by Jerry Morgan. But, you know, he's going to have to worry about Navi on Saturday.
Yeah, and then we also will be having Mercy Nicole versus the potential first ever NGW Women's Champion, Lexi Green.
Yes, you know, Lexi Green, you know, in that finals for the NGW Heavyweight or the NGW Women's Championship. And this new girl, Mercy Nicole, I don't even know how to, I've never seen her before. So this is going to be a new introduction to IWA. You know, they are bringing in a lot of top female talent like NGW is, you know. But yes, we'll get to see Lexi Green and them go at it.
Yeah, and we have that four-way tag match with the boys versus a boy and his monster versus the Great Heathen Army versus the Gospel of Damnation.
Yeah, that one's going to be a match because there's not eight, there's 10 people out there. Eight people in the match, but there's 10 people out there. So you got to think that. And all these people want that shot of that. They want the heavyweight tag team title. So, you know, Gospel and Great Heathen Army, they have a lot of history. The boys want that gold. Boy and his monster want to get revenge. So it's going to be – this is going to be a brawl no matter what. It's going to be hard to keep
them. I don't even know if I'm going to have room to work here in that match.
How you think I might be stuck in that ring with them? Oh, my – I might not make it out of Saturday. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I'm going to control them if I get that match. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting match, but you know, with the tag titles on the line, you know, they're going to do everything they can to get that gold.
And then of course, we're going to be having Dexter going up against Sid Holland for the IWA Productions Heavyweight Championship.
Yes. You know, we heard from Dexter. He posts on Facebook earlier about this match. You know, Sid and Dexter are no strangers to each other, but you know, Dexter wants that IWA heavyweight championship. Sid's not going to give it up. So we're going to see what happens Saturday.
Yeah, there's no telling what could potentially happen during that match. I mean, and then, you know, of course, the headline, you know, the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yes, you know, a great class going in the 25 IWA Hall of Fame. Pretty Boy Floyd, the Monster Scar, Road Warrior Animal. I mean, that is an awesome class for every one of those guys to go into the IWA Hall of Fame.
Oh, you know what? I was just informed that there's actually going to be 11 people.
Okay. Just one, add one. What? We want to go up to 15 now? I mean, there's just keep adding more people.
The boys have their manager.
I forgot about him. Oh man, that's going to be fun. Okay. Well,
yeah.
This is going to be, might have to beef up security for Saturday. I don't know.
Yo, it's interesting. The only team that won't have like a third representative is going to be a boy and his monster.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Does that put a boy and his monster to serious disadvantage for that match? Or is there just going to be so much chaos going on?
I think with a boy and his monster, I think they know to take advantage of a situation when they need to. So I think that's going to be a strategy because obviously they don't have the numbers game, but if they can be on top of it and when the chaos is going, taking advantage of a situation that may not be looked upon and they could pick up a victory over it. You know, you never know.
Yeah. I can't wait for Saturday. It's going to be a wonderful night.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And Scott, I believe tonight you wanted to do my favorite thing, right?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I did.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah. I'm excited that I get to do this time. Usually you always get to do this, but
yeah.
Starting next week, well, technically starting this week, but we are going to have three hosts of the NGW High Voltage podcast.
How's that going to work, Scott?
Because here's the deal. Due to my scheduling conflicts coming up in the next 6 months, I'm not going to be able to be on the podcast every week. So the weeks that I'm not going to be here, which is next week and every other week I will not be here, we will have the Guido filling in for us. And he will actually be joining us as the third host on the High Voltage podcast. So 1 week you'll see me, 1 week you'll see Guido. So
the host will be the camera guy and Scott Cross or the Guido.
Yeah.
Depending on the week.
Depending on the week, yes. So, yes.
I mean, Dardar's already got her role figured out. Boo, Guido.
Well, yeah. Well, as long as it's not me. But, yeah. But in 2 weeks, when I come back on this podcast, I will have another breaking news. And this is going to be a big one.
I mean, you know, I know you weren't here last week, but it was actually announced last week that there is a new official rule in NGW. Did you hear about that?
I heard about that, and I got a problem with that because I took a picture of Guido at the last NGW show. I didn't know anything about it.
You know what's funny is that Guido, I don't think I've gotten plenty of pictures of Guido.
He was so persistent about taking this picture. I don't know why. He kept bugging me all the time to take this picture. He's like, "Hey Scott, we need to take that picture." I'm like, "Yeah, Guido, I'm busy." "Hey Scott, make sure we take that picture." "Hey Scott, make sure we take that picture." I don't know what was going on, but he was consistent about getting that picture. He wanted that picture, and I don't know why. Now I know why.
Oh, that's interesting. He's trying to use his powers for evil.
I guess so. I mean, he's taken over part of the show, so I guess, you know, he'll turn Guido.
All right, I think maybe we have to get a clarification from the NGW board of directors. Does it count if I'm appearing in a video format like Guido? Does that count as taking a picture with Guido?
I don't think so, because you're not in the same frame as Guido. If you guys were in the same house on the same live feed, that would technically count. But since you're on two different screens, two different locations, I don't think they count.
Okay, think I'm safe then.
I think you're safe. As long as Guido don't show up at your house and say, hey, camera guy, let's do the podcast together, then you're screwed.
Okay.
So just make sure you check that Ring camera and make sure Guido doesn't show up. Because if he does, go, hey, no, we can't do this. Can't be on the same time. We don't need a camera guy heel turn.
But yeah, that's interesting though. I mean, I'm gonna miss seeing you every week. I really will.
I know it's gonna be different not being on here every week. You know, we started this podcast but you know, scheduling conflicts with my job, changing shifts, unfortunately it worked out that way, but it's just, we got to do what we got to do. The show must go on. That's what we always said. You know, we got to have a show every week, whether I'm here or not, we have to have a show. So at least we got somebody that's going to step up and help out for the at least the next 6 months, helping us out with the podcast, because this is going to be the next 6 months. So I will be here on a bi-weekly basis. Guido will be on the weeks that I'm not on. So that way you're not alone and you don't have to tackle the show by yourself, camera guy. We can always ask Don. I asked Donde, but he said something about, I didn't understand what he said. Something about Joey Beans.
I'd rather co-host with Herman.
Well, he said Joey. He kept saying something about Joey Beans. I don't know what he's talking about. I kept asking him about the podcast, and he said he don't like the black Joey Beans. He likes the red Joey Beans. And I'm like, and then he said he likes the white Joey Beans, and he likes the green Joey Beans, and he likes the purple Joey Beans. And then he said he likes the black Joey Beans. I don't get him. He just, and I said, Donde, that has nothing to do with the conversation. And this went on for 30 minutes. So, yeah. So luckily Guido was able to take over. So that's good.
Darter is saying that he keeps his jelly beans in the pop can.
The pop can? What?
Or does he mean to say he keeps jelly beans in the pop can?
Maybe. I don't know.
Never tell.
Yeah.
He's just a lovable goofball most of the time.
So, I don't know why. Do you want to do it again? I think for some reason we need to do it again.
You want to do my favorite thing again?
I don't know why, but for some reason it seems like I need to do it again. Let's do it again.
All right. Well, let's do it again.
I don't know why. That sounded right. So,
Scott?
I don't know. I think we got a video.
A video?
They were sent to, I don't know why they send it. I don't know. Did you get the video?
Yeah.
We got a video.
It looks like we were sent a video, so let's cue this up here.
I'm scared. I don't know what it is.
It's who's this from, Scott?
Oh, it's from our friends at Ignite. Okay, we're good.
At Ignite.
Okay, so we're safe. We're safe. It's our friends at Ignite. Right. So we're good. Okay. Let's see what we can play on this video. All right, we're good.
Slow guys.
Hey, get that camera out of here.
Get it out.
Get the camera out of here. Get rid of it.
Watch out.
When was that?
I don't know.
Was that recent?
I would imagine. That
looks like Dexter.
Yeah, that was Dexter.
What the heck happened? Crap.
Darda right there with us. Whoa.
What does that mean for... Was that recently? What's that mean for Saturday?
It could have been. He posted a video earlier and he was fine. He was heading to practice.
I don't know if that was this. Well, I know they have training tonight at a night training. Was that from tonight?
Yeah, that must have been from earlier this evening.
So if that was earlier this evening, night
trainees.
So what's going on? Okay, so we know Dexter's laid out, so we don't know what's going on with Dexter. I don't know what's going to happen for Saturday, because now,
we
don't know.
With him and Sid in jeopardy?
Exactly, and who would attack Dexter like that?
Yeah, that's... And why?
And why? Exactly, why? Who would do it and why? I mean, there's obviously a reason behind it, but it couldn't... I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I think maybe we're a little bit of bad luck. People tend to get attacked when we're on the air.
Well, that was sent to us. The other one actually happened when we were live.
Yeah.
So that actually happened. That was sent to us. But why was that sent to us? Obviously, there's a point. Somebody wants us to know that attack happened and wants to get the point across. Send it to us because they know we're live tonight and they know that Dexter's got to fight Saturday at IWA. So maybe they're...
Well, is he going to be able to fight now at Saturday?
I don't know. Hopefully we can get...
change, but, you know, I hope he's all right.
Hopefully we can get an update on him. Hopefully we can figure out what's going on. I haven't heard anything, but hopefully we'll figure out.
Dardar wondering, wait, what if it was Cade?
I mean, it could be anybody.
Cade's been banned from NGW.
Yeah.
For that next match, for Dexter's safety.
Yeah, but this happened at night.
He really wanted to get his hands on him.
But this happened at night, not NGW.
Yeah.
But, I mean, here's the thing. Somebody's got to have something to gain from this.
Oh, I'm sure that somebody's going to figure it out. Investigation will be launched.
Yes, definitely. But yeah, that's not the way I wanted to end tonight. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, hopefully we'll have some updates on Dexter. You know, I mean, hopefully we'll find out by Saturday, you know, what's going to happen. I mean, but I know Dexter. I mean, even whether he's hurt or not, he's going to fight. And he don't care if someone tries to take him out. He don't care. He's going to fight injured. He don't care. He's going to fight hurt. I mean, oh, no. Dante's
on the case. You have nothing to worry about, Scott.
Okay. Dante, right. You know this is Dexter Roswell, not Dexter the TV show, right? He last time he did that, he watched Dexter the TV show.
Did he have nightmares?
I think so.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But yeah, we will definitely be seeing everybody this Saturday at a Night of Honor at the IWA Production Center in Mount Vernon, Illinois. Come on out and watch a wonderful show.
Yes, we got the Hall of Fame, several matches. I mean, it's going to be a great night. It's one of our yearly shows that we do at IWA. It's honoring the class of Hall of Fame. And not only that, but we're bringing in some big stars. It's going to be a great night of wrestling. Take that short little drive over there if you're coming from St. Louis area. I mean, it's worth the drive to come over for this one.
So I want to thank everybody for joining us here tonight. Also want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Nick's Home Decor, Bi-State Termite and Pest Control, Needful Things Boutique in Muscatine, Illinois, our newest sponsor, ATS Collectibles in Smithton, and of course, the Ringside Buffet in Mount Vernon. Be sure to check them out Saturday before the show and get yourself a wonderful meal.
Yes, exactly. Come early. And if you buy your ticket before 5 p.m., you do get a discount on it.
Oh, outstanding.
So as long as you come early enough, buy your ticket, you'll save a few bucks and you can get some great food. So yes.
All right. But thank you everybody for joining us. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, give us a top rope elbow drop on that like button. And we will see you all Saturday and next week.
Yep.